Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays here at KPTZ with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. We meet to discuss new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we flow, along with the vaccines and other things, into the months ahead. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. Well, today we have a special guest. Her name is Sarah Grossman, and she has been a physical therapist for over 40 years, working with children and adults in a variety of disabling conditions over the time on the Olympic Peninsula and in the hospitals, outpatient clinics, skilled nursing facilities on the East and West Coast. And she provided pediatric and physical therapy to children in Paraguay with the Peace Corps in the early 1980s and during work trips to Mexico and Guatemala. She shared her love of play and the outdoors with kids since her teens as a babysitter, a sports coach, and a camp counselor. Sarah has been living and working on the Olympic Peninsula since 1999, and she's worked for Jefferson Healthcare, Uptown Physical Therapy, Chimicum, and Port Townsend School District, and now contracts with concerned citizens to provide physical therapy services to children in the state-funded Birth to Three program in Chimicum, East Jefferson County, and Clallam County. Sarah joins us today as board president of JUMP, the Jefferson Universal Movement Playground. This has been a labor of love for Sarah and her team, from planting the seeds for this project to the exciting good news she'll be sharing with us. Sarah Grossman, welcome to Community Tides.
Thanks, Chris. And Siobhan, thanks so much for inviting me to share the great news, which is a welcome respite from all the bad news we hear daily.
Well, that's for sure. And that takes me back a ways. Those of us that were around at the time remember briefings. As a union organizer, I remember briefings about recently passed and a long time coming Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990, and how impactful and transformative it was on so many levels. Your journey as a disability advocate began way before that and continues to this day with JUMP, soon to become a reality for kids in Jefferson County.
Which is so exciting, because I know, Sarah, you've been working on this project for so long, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell our community about what you've been working on and how it's coming along. So why don't you start out by talking about the journey you've been on and how the concept of a universal movement playground came about and what it is and its mission?
Yes, this all started back in 2016, when I was working in the Chimicum School District, and I had three preschoolers that were all going to be starting school that year that were unable to walk, and realized, they're not going to be able to get to the playground the way the school playground was set up. So I approached Chimicum Schools to see if we could create an accessible playground for those students. And at that point in time, there was no budget for it, and the levy had also failed that year, so there was no way that was going to happen. School administrators understood the need for it, suggested I write a grant. So I thought, well, if I'm going to write a grant for a playground, why not make it for the entire community? So in my naivete, that's where I decided to go. And I approached Matt Tyler at Parks and Recreation, and he, too, expressed a well-known need for an accessible playground. But again, there was no funding, and we were told we could write grants, collect donations, and basically donate a playground to the county. So that's where the process started, and I recruited some colleagues of mine and other interested parties and parents of children with special needs kids to form a group. That's how JUMP was formed. And we have been working on fundraising and raising community awareness and growing the playground from an initial bid of $250,000 to a project that is now slated at $1.4 million.
That's a big chunk of money.
Yeah, it is. The project's grown. It also includes enhancements to H.J. Carroll Park in terms of parking, creating accessible pathways to the ball fields, the bathrooms and the new playground.
Sarah, can you describe for us what this playground will look like once it's completed?
Yes, and I would also direct people to our website, which is www.jumpplayground.org, because we have lots of great graphics and some videos. But since we're a radio program, I will describe as best I can. It's going to be located at H.J. Carroll right next to the basketball court. And where the existing horseshoe pits are now, and it will kind of creep toward the BMX bike track. It won't impede on that at all. There will be perimeter fencing, which is one of the few playgrounds that will have that, which allows families to just really sit and relax and allow their kids to play without worrying about them running off. We have a theme of the Salish Sea. We're really happy to be working with Rebecca Welty and Anna Young, who have a plankton project through art. So we've kind of taken them on as our art directors, and they are working in various schools to have children create plankton art tiles that will be embedded in some of the concrete seating and pathways. There will also be a large climbing plankton. The surfacing of the playground will be a combination of what's called playground grass, which is an artificial turf, recycled rubber tiles, and concrete. So it'll be all smooth surfacing for anyone using a walker or a wheelchair. There's going to be the first inclusive net climber, which is a big net rope structure that has a slide coming down from the top, and it's accessible with a wheelchair transfer bench and a kind of crawling tunnel up to the slide. There's going to be an accessible merry-go-round that anyone using a wheelchair or walker can, it's flush with the surfacing, so you can roll right in, stay in your wheelchair. There's seating for other kids, and that's going to be a lot of fun. There's nothing like that, I don't even think, on the peninsula. There will be rock climbing structures with some net that has been donated by the Mike Berry Memorial Children's Fund, and they have also been our fiscal sponsor this entire time. So that's a really great added feature. There's slides. There will be musical instruments. There's a central seating area with tables and chairs and shade coverings. So, yeah, there's a lot. I'm looking at our graphics now. There's a variety of slides and swings and spinning things.
What a paradise.
Yeah.
Your description is just amazing. You know, it reminds me that enthusiasm and naivete are two key things that really propel projects forward. Because sometimes when you have an idea and you jump into it and you're not sort of predisposed to look at all of the things that may or may not defeat you in the process, naivete makes you learn about things, makes you learn about grants, makes you learn about all kinds of different things, and then sort of all of these doors that open up. And then, of course, all of the people that enter into the equation as you build a team along with it, with all of the enthusiasm. Why is this so important for our community?
There are over 3,000 kids in East Jefferson County, and there are limited playgrounds. Parks and Rec, when they did their last assessment, found that there was a deficit of 9 playgrounds, and none of the existing playgrounds are accessible, and most of them have very outdated play structures. Some of them were actually donated from the Indian Island Naval Station. So swings and slides tend to be the predominant features. And with limited accessibility, there just isn't a whole lot for kids to really do. I mean, we live in a beautiful natural area, so there's the beach and the woods. I mean, there's great natural environments for play and outdoor exploring. But if you're a child that is mobility impaired or has visual impairments or sensory disorders, there's really no place within an hour's drive that will allow you to play with your family and peers.
That's really impactful for the whole socialization process and acceptance of people that are kids that are different than you. as a kid, for example.
Right. And it's more than just, most people think of this as being a playground for kids in wheelchairs. And it will certainly accommodate those kids, but this is a playground for everyone. And there's a variety of features and challenges for all kids. And we also are including an item called a Serenity Spot, which is a little calming place. There's a lot of kids on the autism spectrum and other kids with what we call sensory processing disorders, where sometimes all the activity on a playground is too overwhelming, the noise, the commotion. So we have a separate structure that was granted through the Governor's Committee on Disability that is a place where kids can kind of time out, still have some stimulation, but just have a quiet place to sit and have some little play activities within that space. So we've really looked at, you know, meeting the needs of all kids and all families.
The attention to detail and the breadth of your thought around the design of this is just incredible. And you were talking about, you know, outdoors and what we have for our young people here. But, you know, the outdoors isn't very accessible to all people, really. It's difficult to navigate the beach for some folks and the woods. And, you know, we kind of do that on our own as individuals or as families. But playgrounds really offer a space for people to meet new other people in an unscheduled way and to have unexpected interactions. And I'm so filled with hope by the opportunity for kind of those connections to be made and for young people's spirits and mental health to be improved through access to this playground. You know, I wish it was done yesterday. I know that you were, I know that you've been working on it for so long, Sarah. What is the timeline and how is your funding shaking out on this?
Yeah, good question. We're just about at full funding. We're a little shy. I just spoke with Parks and Rec this morning. They are getting their 100% design completion and numbers by the end of today. And we're very, very close to being able to build this project in one complete phase. At one point when we did our grant to the State Recreation Conservation Office, which was $500,000 grant, we had proposed the project as a two-phase project due to our funding limitations, but the county has stepped in big time and I think has given about $500,000 toward the capital budget for the playground so we can build it all at once. And once they get their design and their numbers in today, then they present it to the Board of County Commissioners. And then Parks and Rec, once they get the approval from the Board of County Commissioners, it goes out to bid with the hope of breaking ground in May and having the playground completed by September. There's, of course, as everyone knows with COVID, there have been delays with workers and supplies, but that's our best guess right now. And I really want to give a huge shout out to Tim Thomas of Bernd Erickson Excavation, because he has donated his time and skills for site preparation. So once we get the go-ahead, we can break ground. It's a huge offer, and he's stuck with us. He made that commitment 5 years ago, and he's going to stand by it. And we also have 45 yards of concrete that's been donated from Scholl's and Cotton Ready Mix. Todd Hulbert Construction is going to be also donating some labor for our art entry gate and entryway. So we've had such huge community support that, yeah, it's all looking like it's going to break ground in May.
Well, that's very exciting. Spring is a-coming. And
yes.
And boys, so is Jump Playground. And it's just nice to know that all these wonderful people that are contributing to the playground are on alert and ready to go. And that's very exciting. We have a few minutes left, and there's something really important that I want to talk about, that I would like you to talk about. Let's talk about the importance of inclusive play, what that means, and also the psychological benefits for the parents that congregate there at the playground and communicate with one another and support one another, and who love these children dearly and work really, really hard at providing a life for children of varying disabilities, some more intense than others. And I'd just like you to give your thoughts and comments about that.
Sure. And I probably should have invited one of my parents to talk about that too. But one story that sticks with me from a family who's involved in JUMP. So H.J. Carroll Park is the most widely used park in the county. And Rec League happens. There's soccer and softball, all kinds of activities going on there. And many people don't even know there is an existing playground because it's so far afield. And it's also very limited. It's up the hill, and it basically has swings and a slide. And when a lot of families who have kids to go play sports, the younger siblings who aren't yet able to play sports or unable for other reasons, there's limited play. And a mom of one of an able-bodied kid and a disabled kid said that her younger son would have to play in the sand pit that was there for the trails maintenance because he could not walk up to the playground and was unable to play there. So while there were other boys playing soccer, there was nothing for him to do other than play in a sand pit. So having this playground for all families, when one member might be playing a rec league game and the other one's not yet playing, there will be a place to play and socialize and hang out. And I think the seating area and the fencing, to me, just I think will be a huge benefit for families because most playgrounds, the parents are stuck standing around and they can't really relax because they're keeping an eye on their kids, standing, watching things. To be able to sit and also having grandparents who might have mobility impairments to be able to easily roll in their wheelchair, use a walker, and then have a place to sit and watch.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm sorry, we're running short on time, but okay. I want to tell you, you are a gem in this community. Thank you for the huge lift.
Thank you.
And I look forward to coming to play on the playground when it's done in September.
Yes, so I'll look for you there. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
all right,
Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sarah Grossman, board president of JUMP, Jefferson Universal Movement Playground. Thanks for joining us once again here on Community Tides with Chris Bricker, yours truly, and Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. Until next time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Siobhan. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening.